This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they've been great. It's been fun to be around them. They're very detailed. They always have a plan, and they seem like they're routine like, and so that's kind of how I've been throughout my whole life, and so it may not fit well with them, but. For me, it's been great.
That was Caleb Williams talking about meeting the whole Bears contingency, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, etc., etc. Caleb Williams is your new quarterback, Chicago, selected by the Bears number one today. Roma Dunze, the wide receiver out of Washington, going to them at number nine. I'm Rami Makhlouf. That's Hal Barkish. We're into hour three of our draft coverage following the Parkins and Spiegel draft special earlier today. We'll hear from Ryan Poles a little bit later on. Hub's going to run right after this segment, so your chance to get in with Hub Arkish at 312-644-6767. If you want to give us a call or drop us a text, the phone lines are wide open for you. And Hub, you don't know what's genuine, what's real, what these guys are saying, just because they know microphones and cameras are in their face and they're going to say the right thing. But it certainly seems like, and it's the honeymoon era, it's the honeymoon period, you know what I mean? But it seems like everything is real. I said before when we had Mark Grody on, the vibes seem immaculate at Hallis Hall right now. Everybody seems to be in love with everybody. The Bears love Caleb Williams. He loves the Bears. Roma Dunze loves everybody. DJ Moore, Keenan Allen are all in on this. Like, I can't remember the last time things felt this positive for the Chicago Bears throughout, top to bottom.
Well, it's because we're basically in year three of a complete rebuild, and you know, you knew you were going to be bad for a year or two, and now all of a sudden it's starting to look good, and it seems to be happening pretty fast. I think, again, it was the way they finished the season last year. It was not just that they won some games, but they were dominant on defense over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, and we hadn't seen that in a while. And I think that, as much as anything, created all the hope that you're hearing now, you know? And by the way, we should point out, they did sign a new starting center, Coleman Shelton, who started all 17 games for the playoff Rams last year. So they have addressed the position. I'm not saying it's going to be that much better than Cody Waiter. I always liked Cody Waiter. I didn't get what went wrong the last 2 years. But they have addressed that. And, you know, if Nate Davis can stay healthy and be the player they thought he was last year when they signed him, and now if Shelton is just a quality center, you know, you're much improved on the offensive line, too, without even adding anything else.
This text came in from the 815. Don wants to know, tell me they have a plan for center. Please tell me they will have a top-notch center. Again, that's Don in Rockton texting us. And as you just mentioned, they addressed it. It might not be in the way that Bears fans wanted them to. I know Olin Kreutz has wanted to see them use more resources, more assets to address the center position. But they did address it.
They addressed it with a guy who started every game for a playoff team last year. He started 13 games in 2022. And I will tell you that while the guard position is not at all strong in this draft, the center position is stronger than usual. I've got 6 centers with grades in the first 3 rounds, and they do have the 3rd and 4th round pick. So they could take another center, you know, and so they will get that taken care of. The part I've never understood is this left tackle stuff, though, because the kid, he's all rookie his first year. Last year, he gets hurt, misses some time, and then comes back and plays pretty well. I don't know if he'll ever be a Pro Bowler, but he is a quality starter in the NFL. So it's not like they're desperate there. That's what's different about the team right now. I can't think of a single position other than that second edge rusher where I say, God, what are they going to do?
Nose tackle, the three
well,
technique.
I mean, but you've got the two kids you took in the second round last year, and Dexter was playing better, you know, second half of the season. Those, you know, in their second year, they're still developing. We don't know. It's where we've started. They've got to get better. They've got to add more talent. There's no question about that. But they have taken a huge leap this year that I think is bigger than any leap we've seen the Bears take between seasons. I can't remember the last time
it's
they've
been
had
a long
leap
time.
Like this.
It's certainly been a long time. Let's go out to the phones and Rich from LaGrange. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Rich?
Oh, wow. I'm ecstatic. I was going to say, could you imagine if we had Saquon Barkley back there in the backfield? Swift is good, but wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, Saquon Barkley would be nice. DeAndre Swift is a really nice signing. I mean, they paid him a lot for a running back, but they didn't overpay. And I mentioned a few minutes ago, the other thing about him is not only is he a quality running back, but he's one of the best receiving running backs in the NFL. And I think that's the reason they picked him, you know, as opposed to maybe adding somebody else.
One of the critiques of Caleb Williams was he sometimes didn't go to those safety valves or those checkdowns, whether it be the running back or the tight end. Do you think that's something he learns at the NFL level, especially with weapons like a Swift and a Cole Kmet at those positions at his disposal?
Yeah, he definitely is going to learn a lot in the NFL that he didn't learn in college. And that's one of the things that I'm sure they will focus on early in training camp because they know it's an issue. But that's the kind of thing that I think is as much a part of what I call the mental acuity for quarterbacks as it is the physical. And in that area, I think that he is in pretty good shape. And so it's not something I would worry about if I'm a Bears fan.
So, Barkish, I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's night one of our draft coverage here on 670 The Score. I did want to push back a little bit on the Matt Eberflus comment that you made before the break. It's almost the same thing that we had with Justin Fields, where he was put in such a bad situation, such a bad position with, as you said, a teardown and a rebuild that's entering year three now, that it's hard to evaluate a guy or blame him for all the losses and futility that we saw in the first 1.5 years of the Matt Eberflus era. The one thing I will say about Matt Eberflus, to me, and you tell me if I'm missing something, is I like to be wowed in some way, some form or fashion, whether it's your play calling and your X's and O's, you're just a charismatic leader. I like something for my head coach that wows me, that impresses me. I don't see it from Matt Eberflus. End of the day, he ends up winning football games. I won't care, Hub. That's the job description, is win football games. Does Matt Eberflus do something that stands out to you, that he does a lot better than other coaches in this league? Because that's what I want. I want a standout coach. I want a coach who I look at and I go, that's a dude. That's a guy I want leading my organization. I don't get that vibe from Matt Eberflus.
Well, I'm not sure why you wouldn't see some of it, particularly in the second half of the season, immediately upon having to fire his defensive coordinator and take over the defense, he took it from being one of the worst defenses in the NFL to a top five defense by the end of the season. And he kept track of all those young players. He didn't let anybody lose it. They all continued to improve. The offense got better. Justin Fields got better the second half of the season after he came back. And, you know, he still wasn't good enough, but he was playing better. And so I think that he did a lot last year in the way that season evolved, that he had them going in exactly the direction you want when you're rebuilding a team. But let me be clear. I'm not sold on him yet either. I'm not saying he's a great head coach. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he'll be their head coach in 25. I'm just saying that I think he had a good year or two while everybody was talking about firing him, which I thought was just stupid. You know. And now this is the year. This year, I think that he should be able to get them to the playoffs. And if he doesn't get them to the playoffs, they may think about making a change.
And the reason why I kind of wanted them to move on from Matt Eberflus after last year was not, I wasn't firing him because he was that bad necessarily. What scares me, Hub, I said earlier in the show, I'm higher on Caleb Williams, the prospect, than I am on the Bears' ability to develop a quarterback, just because of my life as a Bears fan. And when I look at them now, and this history of staggered hires, of getting a GM who inherits a quarterback or a coach, and then you go and you get a new coach, or you go and you get a new quarterback, and it's sort of this revolving door of these staggered hires. Matt Eberflus, I think, has 1 year left to show Bears fans that he's the right guy for the job. And if he's not, we're going to be going into year two of a quarterback with a new coach, probably a new offensive system. And that feels real familiar to me, Hub, and it hasn't worked out in the past. I would have rather seen a fresh start at the head coach position, along with the fresh start at the quarterback position, probably an offensive-minded guy to sort of attach at the hip with Caleb Williams. That was my thinking in moving on from Matt Eberflus this year. Does that hold any weight with you?
Not really, no. Well, yeah, I mean, of course it does. Everybody's opinion matters, and I understand what you're saying. But again, I don't think Flus is being judged on the job he's done. I think he's being judged on where the organization has been because of the mess that he inherited,
sure,
that he and Ryan Poles inherited. And they obviously did much better in year two than year one. They were a top five defense the second half of the season. They're heading into their third season with what a lot of people are calling one of the best off seasons they've seen of any of these NFL teams. So that's why I think this is the year to be judged. But again, you and I are not disagreeing. I mean, he has to show me more this year, but I'm kind of confident that he will because of what I saw him show us the second half of last season.
This text from the 414, this is a good question. We've done a lot of, you know, biggest sense in tonight's discussion about this draft. The question is, this is the most exciting Bears first round since when? And honestly, Hub, I don't know that I have an answer for you. In my lifetime, maybe ever. You know,
I'd say since last year, because I thought the first round last year was great.
In terms of the trade? Okay.
You get DJ Moore.
Yeah.
You get your starting right tackle. You get two extra number ones. I mean, last year was great too. And now, will this year turn out to be better? Maybe, probably.
I think, but just as far as the guys they actually drafted, this is probably the most exciting first round of my lifetime. This was a little factoid that we've all been, you know, reading and digesting information about this draft since for I don't know how long. But a factoid that slipped past me, Hub, I didn't realize this is the first time the Bears have ever used the number one pick in the draft. They had it last year, obviously, and traded it in the modern era of the draft, which I think started in 1967. Yeah. This is the first time they've had and used the number one pick in the draft. Throw on top of that number nine and getting a Rome Odunze, this might take the cake.
The only other time was 77 years ago, and I forget who the quarterback was that they drafted. But no, you're right. And of course, they had they tied for it. Was it 69? And they lost the coin toss, and that's when they traded the pick. And I forget who won the coin toss, but they ended up getting a franchise quarterback, I think a Hall of Famer.
From the 847, this was pretty good. Butkus Sayers, 1965, a little before my time, but that's a pretty good draft.
I'm only saying this because I just read this. I'm not sure if it was 65 or 64, but it was one of those 2 years, and yeah, that was a pretty good draft. Yeah, and by the way, they were 3-4, so they drafted back-to-back Hall of Famers in that draft.
Wow, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. The draft, this isn't football, but the draft that came to mind for me as far as like, oh, this is going to change this organization, and it didn't, but having two top 10 guys, Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. Y'all even remember Tyson Curry and Tyson Chandler going, I think it was like 1-4 in that year's draft. They traded up to get Tyson Chandler. We were like 2 7-footers. Oh my God. And we thought it was, you know, the next great era of Bulls basketball. And it wasn't. Hopefully this turns out better, but that's the only draft in terms of my life as a Chicago sports fan where I can remember this type of production in the first round.
Yeah, I don't measure a draft for at least 2 years and usually three, because that's when you really know
right.
What happened. The difference, of course, was last year because of you got so much extra, you know, because of what you got for this year's draft. And that was just really unusual. And I was getting greedy. I was hoping to repeat this year what they did last year. And I think they could have. J.J. McCarthy, my guy, messed up this whole thing because when everybody still had McCarthy going at the end of the first round, later in the second, then it looked like the Bears could trade that first pick and still get him if they wanted him in the middle or later in the first round. But once he moved up into the top 10, along with the first three, then it became that much harder. And the Bears had to get a quarterback this year. So they had to keep that first pick and they had to take Williams. And they did the right thing. I'm not criticizing it at all. He is the number one prospect. But they really had no choice, if you think about it.
We've had two texters text in, Hub. I think the answer to the question or the query you had a second ago, you can remember, saying they lost a coin toss to Pittsburgh, who took Terry Bradshaw,
mm-hmm.
number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a And you missed out on a Terry Bradshaw. That's
I was right on the Hall of Famer.
312-644-6767. Hub's got to run. I'll be here with you till 1 a.m. It's just me and you at 312-644-6767. If you want to give us a call or drop us a text, we'll also hear from Ryan Poles before we get out of here tonight. It's night one of draft coverage here on 670 The Score. Hub, really enjoyed this, man.
I wish I could stay, but I got to go pick up the boss, and she'll kill me if I don't.
So. I've told you this before, and I don't know if it makes you feel old. I've been consuming your Bears content for much of my life, so it really was an honor and a pleasure to share these studios with you here tonight, sir.
Rami, I am old. There's nothing you can do about that.
That's Hub Arkish, of course. Catch him here on The Score and catch all his work over at Pro Football Weekly. I'll be back with more draft coverage right after this. It's night one of draft coverage. Right.
Season two of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on 670 The Score.
It was great. You know, we went out there the night before, had dinner with them, and then we spent a lot of time with them the next day before the pro day, and it was outstanding. He's an outstanding young man, and everything, you know, looks great in terms of his, you know, personality, his character, his football knowledge, and we got a lot of information there from that visit.
Bears head coach Matt Eberflus talking about his first visit with now Bears quarterback Caleb Williams, taken number one tonight in the NFL draft. Not shockingly, Roma Dunze, somewhat shockingly. Like I said, I saw a few mock drafts that had Roma Dunze, or one of the top three wide receivers, him or Neighbors and most, slipping to the Bears at number nine, but most of them did not. Most of them had him going in the first eight picks.
Didn't it almost feel like kind of wishful thinking?
It did.
That the Bears, like, he would fall there.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and you saw Malik Neighbors go off the board, and then you're doing the math in your head. Tennessee's going to go offensive line. So it's like, is somebody going to trade up to Atlanta and jump the Bears? And no.
And then Atlanta goes and takes
Michael Penix
at number eight after they just gave a boatload of money to Kirk Cousins.
We talked about how chalky it was. It's very rarely how things play out exactly as you hope that they would, but that is exactly how it happened for the Bears.
That's Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass. I am Rami Makhlouf with you until 1 a.m. We will hear from Ryan Poles here in the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to guess in the next, I don't know, I don't want to make any promises, 20, 25 minutes or so, we should have the Bears general manager after night one of the NFL draft talking about the haul that that they got. And again, the question that came in before the break of this is the most exciting Bears draft since when? And honestly, I don't know. I'm probably of my life. I don't know. People brought up Butkus and Sayers. I'm not that old. I'm old, but I'm not that old. A couple of texts, and we'll get to your calls here at 312-644-6767 in just a second. Alex from the 630 is wondering, are the Bears forced into HBO Hard Knocks now? I don't know, but I know HBO and the NFL would love to have the Bears on Hard Knocks.
And the Bears would absolutely
hate
being on Hard Knocks.
I recently heard that they're changing Hard Knocks. It's going to be a whole division rather than just one team. Am I wrong about that? Did I get got by some fake news report? I thought I heard that it was going to be a whole division and on Hard Knocks. I don't know if that's starting this year, but starting shortly. This text came in from the 773. One-on-ones will
be the in-season version of Hard Knocks.
Oh, the in-season version.
Yes.
Okay, so the training camp version is still just one team.
Correct.
Gotcha. From the 773, one-on-ones will be a sight to see. DJ versus Jalen, Rome versus Tyree, Keenan versus Gordon. Iron sharpens iron. Yeah, training camp will be fun to watch this year, man. And you don't get to watch practice during the season. But yeah, I love that. And that's something that, for those who don't know my background, I worked for The Score sister station, 1250 AM The Fan in Milwaukee for a long time, and I got to watch Aaron Rodgers kick our ass and blossom into one of the greatest quarterbacks in history. And that was one of the things he always talked about, was he wanted a defense that competed in practice because he thought that that made him better. He liked when guys chirped during practice and made things a little chippy and a little bit competitive between him and the defense, and I think that yeah, you have a defense like the Bears do, and some of those players that the texter mentioned for Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze to sort of sharpen their skills against, that's what you want. He's right. Iron sharpens iron in that sense. Keep the calls, keep the text coming. 312-644-6767. It's just me and you and Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass till 1 a.m. So I want to hear from you, including Tom from Glendale Heights. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good to talk to you. I like drafting Odunze, but my question is, did we miss an opportunity to trade back and possibly still get Rome Odunze? Because when Penix went at 8, I mean, that was, I stood up because I didn't think that was going to happen. But I did know that if when that did happen, there was going to be a run on quarterbacks. And sure enough, there was. So I'm wondering, like, could we have traded back to 12, maybe picked up another second-round pick, and maybe even got Odunze? Or let's just say someone else takes Odunze. You know, you had the left tackle from Penn State go to the Jets. Maybe we get him at 12, or you know what I mean? I just wonder if maybe, I mean, I was watching TV, and I see it on the timer says 3.5 minutes left, and I'm just thinking, can he just wait like maybe 2 more minutes just to see what happens? Because I really wonder if like maybe somebody panics and tries to trade up, and maybe we can get like a pretty good return and still get the wide receiver anyways.
Yeah, I think, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Tom. I think the only way somebody was going to trade up there is if somebody was trying to leapfrog the Vikings or get ahead of the Vikings in taking a J.J. McCarthy. My big board, again, the definitive big board in NFL draft circles, the Rami Makhlouf big board, I had Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze 1, 2, 3, which I think that's not unique. I'm not like breaking any mold with that. But my whole stance was, if one of those three guys is not on the board, then yeah, trade back and address one of your other needs, whether it's an offensive lineman or a nose tackle, a three technique, an edge rusher, which is something they certainly need, and add some draft picks in the process. But my stance all along was, if one of those three guys is there, then you take them. And you can't, as Tom was talking and going through all the machinations of what happened right around that 9th pick, I was thinking the same thing that Tom was when I was looking at that pick, and I was thinking, okay, behind, I figured Minnesota was moving up somewhere right around where the Bears were at 10, 11, or 12 to try and get a J.J. McCarthy. So I was looking at Minnesota, Denver, who probably wasn't in the wide receiver market, Las Vegas, who wasn't really in the wide. There were some teams that followed them in the draft that weren't probably looking for a wide receiver. So you look at that and you go, yeah, maybe you can trade down. Maybe you can get a few extra picks and plug a few more of these holes. They have 4 picks in the whole draft, less than anybody else in the league. But when you start getting cute like that, just like somebody traded up to get McCarthy, the Vikings, somebody might be in love with Rome Odunze.
Yeah, and in fact, according to Connor Hughes of SNY, covers the Jets,
mm-hmm.
The Jets reportedly try to trade up with the Giants to number 6.
There you go.
And the Bears to number 9 to draft Rome Odunze. So to answer the question that Tom had about could the Bears have traded back and gotten Rome Odunze, the answer is no.
Probably not.
They would have had to decide that they're willing to pass on Rome Odunze, trade back, and then entertain the other options like offensive tackle or three tech or another position. But to get Rome Odunze, no, the Jets were going to take him with that very next pick.
And that's, again, my whole stance was, if one of the three receivers, if one of those top three receivers is there for you at number 9, you take him and you trade down. That doesn't mean that, you know, I would have been throwing stuff or punching holes in the walls of the Honda Studios here tonight if they didn't do that. I'd understand if they addressed some other needs, as we've talked about all night, maybe an offensive tackle, maybe an interior defensive lineman or an edge rusher, and you stack up a few more picks because you don't have a lot of picks this year and there are holes to fill. There are needs to address. Center is another position that maybe could have been addressed this year. But I was really, really, so I really sort of had my heart set on two things. One, a blue chip player at a premium position. And whether that's wide receiver where they went or whether it was edge rusher, and I don't know that any of the edge rushers necessarily were blue chip type of prospects, or if it was an offensive lineman. I wanted a blue chip player at a premium position on the offensive side of the ball, because they've dedicated so many of their assets and resources to the defensive side of the ball since Ryan Poles took over, that I feel like there needs to be some balancing out here, and you need to not do what you've done throughout history with Bears quarterbacks, which is not surround them with quality players and put them in a position to succeed. Let's do everything we can. As good as Caleb Williams looks as a prospect, do everything you can to put that guy in position to succeed and develop and progress as a quarterback in this league.
And Rami, I know you were a little bit on the fence, as was I. I also thought that wanted to see the Bears go through a little bit longer with Justin Fields and wish that it didn't end the way that it did more than anything. But when you see what they've put around him, and when you see him sitting up there looking so calm, and when you hear Ryan Poles and the plan that is, just see a general manager with a plan for a top flight quarterback and has surrounded him with the most talent that we've ever possibly ever seen in a Bears uniform. I think it is a little surreal for people, because you talk about this being the best draft. In many ways, this is an uncomparable draft for most Bears fans.
Yeah. Like I said, the only thing I can compare it to in terms of the excitement it generates, the optimism that it generates for like a new era for your team, was when the Bulls took Eddie Curry and Tyson Chandler. And I hope it works out better than that, but that's the only thing that I can remember that I can compare this to, of getting two players with this much promise and this much hype and this much potential on day one of a draft. You don't get that very often. And like I said in the last segment to Hub, this is the first time the Bears have ever had and used the number one pick in the draft in the modern era. And then again, I think that goes back to 1967. That's wild. That's crazy when you think about it. And yes, I wanted to stick with Justin Fields. That being said, Caleb Williams is the best quarterback prospect they've had in my life. As a prospect, as just a raw product coming into the league, the best quarterback prospect that the Bears have had in my life. So you're probably saying, well, why did you want to keep Justin Fields then? I was looking at it as Justin Fields, and you probably don't talk like that. I was looking at it as Justin Fields plus whatever you could get for the number one pick versus Caleb plus whatever you could get for Justin Fields. And to me,
and also Justin Fields showing the most promise of
any Bears quarterback. Yeah,
exactly.
Of my life.
So it's kind of a spiral.
But, and again, I told myself I wasn't going to, you people pulled me into this. All right. I said I wasn't going to talk about Justin Fields tonight. But that being said, they traded him. It's the Caleb Williams era now. He's the best quarterback prospect they've ever had in my lifetime. And they're doing right by him by surrounding him with good players. And he has a good defense on the other side. So hopefully he doesn't have to score 40 points every time he lines up under center. That would be nice.
It's going to be interesting, because he's going to be asked to do exactly the opposite of what he did last year, Rami. When you think about it, at USC, he had to play hero ball.
Yeah.
And it forced him into so many mistakes. Now, are we going to be looking at him as, and I don't want to use this term because people get offended, but it's okay if in his first year, he's a little bit of a game manager.
Yes.
Lean on your defense. Run the football. You have weapons around you. Get the ball into the hands of the weapons. Don't try to do too much. So he's going to have to completely flip his entire game in 1 year, from doing everything to just doing enough.
I want him to be the best quarterback in this league someday. I don't even need him to be the best quarterback in the division on day one.
No.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't have to be.
He really does not have to be. And that's great. That's terrific, because every quarterback that the Bears have had that gives you that gets you a little excited and gives you a little bit of optimism and going, oh, we might have one here, they made them be Superman if they were going to succeed. Justin Fields had to be Superman. Jay Cutler had to be Superman. These guys throughout my lifetime, they put them out there and they just said, do it all. And they're not doing that with Caleb Williams. And that is a refreshing change. text from the 708 says, evening, guys, what was the verdict regarding tampering charges against the Falcons? Didn't hear anything. There was a lot of buzz leading up to the draft of, oh, the Falcons might lose draft picks. The Vikings might be waiting to see what happens with the Falcons and their tampering charges. And nothing. That was a lot of smoke and no fire. I'm sure something will be coming down, but obviously nothing that affected them on day one of the draft. And I can't imagine that they just announced something on day two or three of the draft that they're losing a draft pick this year. So nothing, as far as I can tell, that will impact the Falcons this year for the tampering charges, allegedly, with the whole Kirk Cousins thing. I do want to hit a break, and then we will hear from you, more from you, at 312-644-6767. And momentarily, we'll hear from Bears general manager Ryan Poles as well. This is The Score is draft coverage here on 670 The Score, and it is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Rami Makhlouf with you until 1 o'clock. More of your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. And we'll hear from Ryan Poles right after this.
You obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it, and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that, and they're all for answering questions. They told the truth, and you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change, and you know, that's what we're excited about.
There's Caleb Williams after being drafted number one overall by the Chicago Bears to be their quarterback. I'm Rami Makhlouf with you on 670 The Score, taking our draft coverage late into the evening, actually right into the morning. We'll be with you till 1 a.m. We'll hear from Bears general manager Ryan Poles coming up at midnight. Phone lines open till then, 312-644-6767. Give us a call or drop us a text. The fact he just brings that up unsolicited, that they've never had a fourth. I brought this up earlier to Hub, but nobody asked him about that. He brought it up. He brought up the futile history of Bears quarterbacks, and it doesn't seem to faze him at all in terms of why has this happened in the past? How does this make Bears fans feel, and how much pressure does that put on me? He cares so little about that stuff that he brought it up himself, unsolicited, that, yeah, nobody's ever done this wearing this uniform, but watch me. You know what I mean? That's a level of confidence, and I don't give a bleep, that I love for my quarterback. That none of that stuff phases him. That's a thing of the past, and I'm your quarterback of the future. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Rogers Park. Get in, Patrick. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, dude?
Rami, how you doing, bro?
I'm well. How are you?
I am. It's euphoria. It is joy. It is pure, unadulterated bliss right now.
Is it the Roma Dunze pick that puts you over the top into unadulterated bliss? Because we knew Caleb Williams was going to get drafted by the Bears. Is it? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes. Because they could have screwed that up. They could have traded down. You know, they could have went with the tackle. When that article came out, I sent you earlier about him saying Olu was his lineman and that's who he liked, you know. If the receivers weren't available, I was like, oh, maybe they are going to go tackle, which I wouldn't have been terribly upset with, right? Like, you could have leveraged Braxton Jones to possibly get a second or a third. They didn't get cute. They followed the script.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it's a good script. It's a good script to get two blue chip prospects to go along with Montez Sweat. I consider a blue chip. DJ Moore, I consider a blue chip, right? Keenan Allen, yes, he's older. He's still coming off the best season of his career. He didn't even play a full season. I consider him a blue chip.
Yeah,
Jalen Johnson is a blue chip. Tremaine Edmonds, theoretically, right? Like, Pro Bowler. T.J. Edwards played like a Pro Bowler. I don't want to, like, you know, just be giving out blue chips, but – you know, it's starting to look a lot like Christmas, you know?
It like, is.
You know, so.
And like I said last segment, Pat, I wouldn't have been fuming. I wouldn't have, you know, given them a failing grade on the draft if they traded out of that pick instead of drafting Odunze and got one of the guys that you've mentioned. But I just love the pick of Odunze and what that says about what they're trying to do. And like you said, of adding another, and this is one of my points, adding another blue chip player on the offensive side of the ball and in a guy who Caleb Williams is going to be working directly with and throwing the football to.
For a long time.
For a long time.
You don't know how long that Keenan Allen thing is going to be
yep.
a thing. But now, you know you got at least 4 years of Rome.
Yeah.
You know, and unlike, say, Kevin White, who was good for 1 year.
We have to bring up Kevin White.
West Virginia. No, I had to, dude. Because, you know, in our discussions over the last several decades that we've known each other, we've seen the Bears draft wide receivers, and sometimes it's been good.
Yeah.
Many o time it has not, and you know these GMs are paid to make good decisions.
Remember David Terrell? Since we're going down the road of bad wives,
that was.
All right, thanks for the call, Patrick. Appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man. Go Bears! Bear down.
Back at you. Full disclosure: that's my friend of many decades. Going back to, like, high school.
Just had to bring up Kevin White.
Had to, right?
Just slid it in there so casually.
He always accuses me of being the wet blanket in our Bears conversations. We're all celebrating Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze.
You're all happy tonight. You're like, I'm not even going to bring up Justin Fields. And he just slides Kevin White right in there.
Yeah, I'm trying, folks. I'm trying. And I've gotten texts saying I'm a wet blanket. Me and Hub are wet blankets about this whole thing. I'm trying. And y'all keep dragging me back in to bad Bears times. You know, this is a new era. Can we move on from all these busts and disappointments of the past and celebrate what's happened tonight? Let's go to Dean. He's driving to Michigan. Now he's on the score. What's up, Dean?
TGIF here in Michigan. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
So I want to be very cautiously optimistic. I'm turning 37 next week. I can count, like, probably all the good years that I've seen the Bears play on a single hand in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be optimistic with Odunze, with Williams, with all the moves we've made up until now. And with Shane Waldron being our offensive coordinator, I saw him when I lived in Seattle. Very great. What if Shane Waldron has a breakout year as the offensive coordinator for the Bears and he becomes a head coaching candidate come this time next year or come the offseason? What do the Bears do then with a quarterback that's young and you don't want to have them have like multiple offensive coordinators over the years this early on? But that's a risk if Waldron and the Bears break out this year, right? Or am I crazy?
No, that's a legit concern.
He's absolutely right.
I don't think you're crazy at all. And it's one of the reasons, and I brought this up to Hub before he had to leave at the top of the hour. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to move on from Matt Eberflus.
Maybe the biggest
reason, yes, was to pair him with an offensive-minded head coach and just attach those two guys at the hip. And I'm not saying there's only one way to do things. You know what I mean? You go and you get the best head coach available. And Bill Belichick is a defensive head coach. Mike Tomlin is a defensive head coach. The examples are out there. But when you look at most great quarterbacks, They're attached at the hip with an offensive-minded head coach from day one. And what that does is it eliminates that uncertainty of what Dean just talked about, of in the future, your offense being so good that you're actually penalized for it. You lose that offensive coordinator, and now you're starting over with a new offensive coordinator. I was going to bring this up, and actually that's a perfect transition into what I was going to bring up. And it goes back to what Hub and I, or a point I made to Hub Arkish earlier in the show, which is, and this is one of the points I made that got me flooded with texts calling me a wet blanket. I'm sorry, man. If you've had a lifetime of being a Bears fan, and there's like no part of you that's scarred and wondering if they're going to get this thing right, and you're just like happy-go-lucky, and there's no way they could screw this up. I admire you. You know what I mean? I really do. I admire you. You are you're resilient as hell. You're just a resilient person that you can just shed all that history and all that past and just let yourself be unbridled optimism. You know what I mean? But there was an article in The Athletic by Mike Jones, why drafting a QB is still an inexact science. And it was these two paragraphs, a paragraph and a quote from Andy Reid, that illustrate my concern when it comes to the Bears and why I say I'm much more confident in Caleb Williams as a prospect than I am in the Bears in getting the most they can possibly get out of a quarterback prospect. And Mike Jones writes, organizational alignment, a clear development plan, and quality teammates are among the must-haves for quarterback success. New England discovered Brady and developed him into a future Hall of Famer who delivered 6 Lombardi trophies and 20 years of stability. Kansas City is the league's latest dynasty with Mahomes as the centerpiece thanks to similar top-to-bottom alignment and a carefully planned quarterback development plan. Then this quote from Andy Reid. There's a lot of things that go into that. Where is the staff at? Are they in their last year? Are they in their first year? What offense are you asking this guy to be in? Will it work with his strengths? And will you try to better the things that he's not as strong at? Weaknesses. Are you willing to stand before reporters and kind of protect that guy so he can grow a little bit? That's the type of environment a quarterback needs to flourish in. And a lot of that is continuity from the top of the organization to the bottom, and continuity from year to year to year in terms of being in a system, being with coaches who you've developed a relationship with and who you've learned how they work and what they do inside and out. If Matt Eberflus is not a great head coach and you're looking for a new head coach next year who's going to bring a new offensive coordinator, that's a problem. That's a problem we've seen before with the Bears. If, as Dean pointed out, they're so good that people are like, we have to hire this Shane Waldron guy, you're going to be having a new offensive coordinator with a second or third year quarterback. That's just not ideal. Is all I'm saying is that is just, it doesn't mean that Caleb Williams won't develop, won't be everything he's projected to be. It's just not the ideal situation for a quarterback to grow in.
And it's been the situation that most Bears quarterbacks throughout history have grown in.
Yes.
Or not grown in.
That's the
for that matter.
That's the trauma I have. If you go back to his college days, whether it's because they're so bad that you fire Matt Eberflus and his entire staff, or they're so good that Shane Waldron is getting a head coaching job next year, going back to his college days, Caleb Williams potentially is going to have his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. In terms of his last year at USC, his first year with the Bears, and his second year with the Bears. Not what you want. Not what you're going for as an organization in developing a quarterback. Going back to the Mike Jones article.
In fact, for Caleb Williams, it will be his fourth, because Kingsbury last year was his offensive coordinator, first year OC at USC.
Yeah.
Graham Harrell the year before that.
That's right. So it would be his fourth in as many years. Which is not ideal. Doesn't mean it won't work. Doesn't mean you'll ruin him and you'll break him and he's not. No, it's just not ideal. Going back to what Mike Jones and Andy Reid talked, organizational alignment, clear development plan, quality teammates, continuity, synchronicity. These things are important, man, when you're talking about developing a quarterback. And I think by the looks of it, it looks like Ryan Poles is doing right by Caleb Williams and doing this thing right the right time around. But we don't know until we see it. 815 texts in, says, if your QB is great, your QB is great. Your QB becomes the offensive coordinator. Peyton Manning and Brady went through different coordinators all the time. I hope Shane Waldron moves on. It'll mean the Bears offense is great. And that will be sort of the double-edged sword of the whole thing. Yeah, he'll be moving on because you're really damn good.
And they, as another texter pointed out, Thomas Brown was also hired, kind of waiting in the wings. So Ryan Poles did go out and hire some offensive staff, some depth, the offensive staff, but it still remains a little bit of a concern when you have a defensive-minded coach in the NFL and a new quarterback. And just think about all the years where the Bears have had a rookie quarterback, and in their second year, they're having an offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, because the first one stunk.
Yes.
Imagine for a second just the total 180 of that.
That would be
great. It was so good that they had to get a new offensive coordinator.
It wasn't a rookie, but the last time they had that was Adam Gase.
That's right.
Remember the huge year Cutler had? And then he was sort of a hot name. The Dolphins hired him, and he turned out to be a mess as a head coach. That doesn't mean he wasn't a fine offensive coordinator. Some guys are just good coordinators and never great head coaches. That happens all the time in this league. But that's the last time I can remember. A lot of reminiscing on the show tonight. That's the last time I can remember a Bears offensive coordinator moving on because he was so good and not because he was so bad that you had to move on from him. 334 text in, Waldron leaves after a year. You elevate Thomas Brown. He was hired as offensive assistant. That goes to what you were just talking about. And it's like, and we'll hear from Ryan Poles right after this.
You obviously look into it to be the only team without a 3,000-yard passer, I believe, right? 4,000? 4,000, yeah, four. You look into it, and you wonder why. And I ask questions, obviously. I have no shame in asking questions. And so, you know, you ask why and things like that, and they're all for answering questions. They told the truth, and you know, that's what that was. They told me the truth. They told me and my dad the truth about why and what and where and how it's going to change. And you know, that's what we're excited about.
There's Caleb Williams after being drafted number one overall by the Chicago Bears to be their quarterback. I'm Robbie Maklouf with you on 670 The Score, taking our draft coverage late into the evening, actually right into the morning. We'll be with you till 1 a.m. We'll hear from Bears general manager Ryan Poles coming up at midnight. Phone lines open till then, 312-644-6767. Give us a call or drop us a text. The fact he just brings that up unsolicited, that they've never had a fourth. I brought this up earlier to Hub, but nobody asked him about that. He brought it up. He brought up the futile history of Bears quarterbacks, and it doesn't seem to faze him at all in terms of why has this happened in the past. How does this make Bears fans feel, and how much pressure does that put on me? He cares so little about that stuff that he brought it up himself, unsolicited, that, yeah, nobody's ever done this wearing this uniform, but watch me. You know what I mean? That's a level of confidence, and I don't give a bleep, that I love for my quarterback, that none of that stuff phases him. That's a thing of the past, and I'm your quarterback of the future. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Rogers Park. Get in, Patrick. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, dude?
Rami, how you doing, bro?
I'm well. How are you?
I am. It's euphoria. It is joy. It is pure, unadulterated bliss right now.
Is it the Roma Dunze pick that puts you over the top into unadulterated bliss? Because we knew Caleb Williams was going to get drafted by the Bears. Is it? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes. Because they could have screwed that up. They could have traded down. You know, they could have went with the tackle. When that article came out, I sent you earlier about him saying Olu was his lineman and that's who he liked. You know, if the receivers weren't available, I was like, oh, maybe they are going to go tackle, which I wouldn't have been terribly upset with, right? Like, you could have leveraged Braxton Jones to possibly get a second or a third. They didn't get cute. They followed the script.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it's a good script. It's a good script to get two blue chip prospects to go along with Montez Sweat. I consider a blue chip. DJ Moore, I consider a blue chip, right? Keenan Allen, yes, he's older. He's still coming off the best season of his career. He didn't even play a full season.
I
consider him a blue chip.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson is a blue chip. Tremaine Edmonds, theoretically, right? Like, Pro Bowler. T.J. Edwards played like a Pro Bowler. I don't want to, like, you know, just be giving out blue chips, but you know, it's starting to look a lot like Christmas, you know?
It is.
You know, so
and like I said last segment, like I said last segment, Pat, I wouldn't have been fuming. I wouldn't have, you know, given them a failing grade on the draft if they traded out of that pick instead of drafting Odunze and got one of the guys that you've mentioned. But I just love the pick of Odunze and what that says about what they're trying to do. And like you said, of adding another, and this is one of my points, adding another blue chip player on the offensive side of the ball and in a guy who Caleb Williams is going to be working directly with and throwing the football to.
For a long time.
For a long time.
You don't know how long that Keenan Allen thing is going to be
yep.
a thing. But now, you know you've got at least 4 years of Rome.
Yeah.
You know, and unlike, say, Kevin White, who was good for 1 year.
We have to bring up Kevin White.
West Virginia. No, I had to, dude, because you know, in our discussions over the last several decades that we've known each other, we've seen the Bears draft wide receivers, and sometimes it's been good.
Yeah.
Many o time, it has not. And, you know, these GMs are paid to make good decisions.
Remember David
and
Terrell?
Sometimes they don't.
Since we're going down the road of
dude,
bad wives.
That was.
All right. Thanks for the call, Patrick. Appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, thank you, man. Go Bears. Bear down.
Back at you. Full disclosure, that's my friend of many decades. Going back to, like, high school.
Just had to bring up Kevin White.
Had to, right?
Just slid it in there so casually.
He always accuses me of being the wet blanket in our Bears conversations. We're all celebrating Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze.
You're all happy tonight. You're like, I'm not even going to bring up Justin Fields. And he just slides Kevin White right in there.
Yeah, I'm trying, folks. I'm trying. And I've gotten texts saying I'm a wet blanket. Me and Hub are wet blankets about this whole thing. I'm trying. And y'all keep dragging me back in to bad Bears times. You know, this is a new era. Can we move on from all these busts and disappointments of the past and celebrate what's happened tonight? Let's go to Dean. He's driving to Michigan. Now he's on the score. What's up, Dean?
TGIF here in Michigan. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man.
So I want to be very cautiously optimistic. I'm turning 37 next week. I can count, like, probably all the good years that I've seen the Bears play on a single hand in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be optimistic with Odunze, with Williams, with all the moves we've made up until now, and with Shane Waldron being our offensive coordinator. I saw him when I lived in Seattle. Very great. What if Shane Waldron has a breakout year as the offensive coordinator for the Bears and he becomes a head coaching candidate come this time next year or come the offseason? What do the Bears do then with a quarterback that's young and you don't want to have them have, like, multiple offensive coordinators over the years this early on? But that's a risk if Waldron and the Bears break out this year, right? Or am I crazy?
No, that's a legit concern.
He's absolutely right.
I don't think you're crazy at all. And it's one of the reasons, and I brought this up to Hub before he had to leave at the top of the hour, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to move on from Matt Eberflus. Maybe the biggest reason, yes, was to pair him with an offensive-minded head coach and just attach those two guys at the hip. And I'm not saying there's only one way to do things. You know what I mean? You go and you get the best head coach available. And Bill Belichick is a defensive head coach. Mike Tomlin is a defensive head coach. The examples are out there. But when you look at most great quarterbacks, They're attached at the hip with an offensive-minded head coach from day one. And what that does is it eliminates that uncertainty of what Dean just talked about, of in the future, your offense being so good that you're actually penalized for it. You lose that offensive coordinator, and now you're starting over with a new offensive coordinator. I was going to bring this up, and actually that's a perfect transition into what I was going to bring up. And it goes back to what Hub and I, or a point I made to Hub Arkish earlier in the show, which is, and this is one of the points I made that got me flooded with texts calling me a wet blanket. I'm sorry, man. If you've had a lifetime of being a Bears fan, and there's like no part of you that's scarred and wondering if they're going to get this thing right, and you're just like happy-go-lucky, and there's no way they can screw this up, I admire you. You know what I mean? I really do. I admire you. You are like you're resilient as hell. You're just a resilient person that you can just shed all that history and all that past and just let yourself be unbridled optimism. You know what I mean? But there was an article in The Athletic by Mike Jones, why drafting a QB is still an inexact science. And it was these two paragraphs, a paragraph and a quote from Andy Reid, that illustrate my concern when it comes to the Bears and why I say I'm much more confident in Caleb Williams as a prospect than I am in the Bears in getting the most they can possibly get out of a quarterback prospect. And Mike Jones writes, organizational alignment, a clear development plan, and quality teammates are among the must-haves for quarterback success. New England discovered Brady and developed him into a future Hall of Famer who delivered 6 Lombardi trophies and 20 years of stability. Kansas City is the league's latest dynasty with Mahomes as the centerpiece thanks to similar top-to-bottom alignment and a carefully planned quarterback development plan. Then this quote from Andy Reid. There's a lot of things that go into that. Where is the staff at? Are they in their last year? Are they in their first year? What offense are you asking this guy to be in? Will it work with his strengths? And will you try to better the things that he's not as strong at? Weaknesses. Are you willing to stand before reporters and kind of protect that guy so he can grow a little bit? That's the type of environment a quarterback needs to flourish in. And a lot of that is continuity from the top of the organization to the bottom, and continuity from year to year to year in terms of being in a system, being with coaches who you've developed a relationship with and who you've learned how they work and what they do inside and out. If Matt Eberflus is not a great head coach and you're looking for a new head coach next year who's going to bring a new offensive coordinator, that's a problem. That's a problem we've seen before with the Bears. If, as Dean pointed out, they're so good that people are like, we have to hire this Shane Waldron guy, you're going to be having a new offensive coordinator with a second or third year quarterback. That's just not ideal. Is all I'm saying is that is just, it doesn't mean that Caleb Williams won't develop, won't be everything he's projected to be. It's just not the ideal situation for a quarterback to grow in.
And it's been the situation that most Bears quarterbacks throughout history have grown in.
Yes.
Or not grown in,
that's the
for that matter.
That's the trauma I have. If you go back to his college days, whether it's because they're so bad that you fire Matt Eberflus and his entire staff, or they're so good that Shane Waldron is getting a head coaching job next year, going back to his college days, Caleb Williams potentially is going to have his third offensive coordinator in 3 years. In terms of his last year at USC, his first year with the Bears, and his second year with the Bears. Not what you want. Not what you're going for as an organization in developing a quarterback. Going back to the Mike Jones article.
In fact, for Caleb Williams, it will be his fourth, because Kingsbury last year was his offensive coordinator, first year OC at USC.
Yeah.
Graham Harrell the year before that.
That's right. So it would be his fourth in as many years. Which is not ideal. Doesn't mean it won't work. Doesn't mean you'll ruin him and you'll break him and he's not. No, it's just not ideal. Going back to what Mike Jones and Andy Reid talked, organizational alignment, clear development plan, quality teammates, continuity, synchronicity. These things are important, man, when you're talking about developing a quarterback. And I think by the looks of it, it looks like Ryan Poles is doing right by Caleb Williams and doing this thing right the right time around. But we don't know until we see it. 815 texts in, says, if your QB is great, your QB is great. Your QB becomes the offensive coordinator. Peyton Manning and Brady went through different coordinators all the time. I hope Shane Waldron moves on. It'll mean the Bears offense is great. And that will be sort of the double-edged sword of the whole thing. Yeah, he'll be moving on because you're really damn good.
And they, as another texter pointed out, Thomas Brown was also hired, kind of waiting in the wings. So Ryan Poles did go out and hire some offensive staff, some depth, the offensive staff, but it still remains a little bit of a concern when you have a defensive-minded coach in the NFL and a new quarterback. And just think about all the years where the Bears have had a rookie quarterback, and in their second year, they're having an offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator, because the first one stunk.
Yes.
Imagine for a second just the total 180 of that.
That would be
great. It was so good that they had to get a new offensive coordinator.
It wasn't a rookie, but the last time they had that was Adam Gase.
That's right.
Remember the huge year Cutler had, and then he was sort of a hot name. The Dolphins hired him, and he turned out to be a mess as a head coach. That doesn't mean he wasn't a fine offensive coordinator. Some guys are just good coordinators and never great head coaches. That happens all the time in this league. But that's the last time I can remember. A lot of reminiscing on the show tonight. That's the last time I can remember a Bears offensive coordinator moving on because he was so good and not because he was so bad that you had to move on from him. 334 text in, Waldron leaves after a year. You elevate Thomas Brown. He was hired as offensive assistant. That goes to what you were just talking about, and is likely to be elevated to OC next year. And this text from the 708, my name is Patrick, and I agree with everything Patrick just said. Otherwise, I'd call. Thank you to all the Patricks, I guess. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll hear from Bears general manager Ryan Poles. It's night one of draft coverage here on 670 The Score.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.